You all know it's going to be a long sermon when the wife of the preacher is eating a scone and got a cup of tea. Yeah, so we're going to be doing, we've been doing our series on By Faith, and it's all from Hebrews 11. Now, I did have an awesome PowerPoint, but I think we all agree PowerPoint's boring, isn't it? And also it didn't work, so we won't have that. And my daughter was sick on me, and I had to run out to give her the right packet of crisps. Apparently, it was a bit of a disaster because she'd been given HP hula hoops, and she wanted the little ones that Mammy had packed. So there we go. Apparently, that was important. But yeah, you know, God wants to speak to us this morning, and I always take it as a sign, I think, when there's a little bunch of things go wrong. I think, oh, praise the Lord. You must want to do something this morning. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you're here this morning. And you actually want to speak to us, Lord. I mean, you always want to speak to us, Lord. But you've got a message for us that's fresh for today, Lord. And it's fresh for where we're at in our lives today, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that we'll hear it. Give us eyes that see, Lord, and ears that hear, Lord. And let us hear what you're saying to us. And let us understand it. And help us to know what you want us to do, Lord. And encourage us this morning, Lord. Challenge us where we need challenging, Lord. Set us free, Lord God. Don't let us leave this place, Lord, without getting something awesome off you, Lord. Whether it's through this sermon or through another brother or sister praying for us or just talking to people or whatever it is, Lord God, we want to leave, Lord, with what you've got for us this morning, Lord. We don't want to leave without our daily bread, Lord. We want a good meal this morning. I pray that you give it to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, Hebrews chapter 11, and I've been given the privilege of doing Isaac. It's one verse, it's very simple. Hebrews 11, verse 20, it says this. It says, by faith, it was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. Now, I was quite pleased when I got Isaac. I quite like Isaac. I mean, everyone's got their favourite characters in the Bible, and I'm not one of these people that has a favourite this or favourite that, but I have sort of favourite groups of things, you know, and one of the guys that's in my little group of favourite people, I guess, in the Bible is Isaac. I really like him because he's just got such a confident and relaxed faith. I mean, you look at his father. His father's Abraham, and it says that Abraham worshipped idols beyond the river, you know, in his old land, and he says, and God called him out, and he lives by faith, Abraham, doesn't he? And it's like a struggle, but he lives. It's a stretch for him, but it's awesome. God does awesome things for him. He has this son, Isaac, when he's like 100 years old. His wife is 90 years old. It's a miracle child. And Isaac grows up inheriting all of this faith. And I guess when you're growing up and you discover that, you know, your mother's 90, in her 90s, and your father's in his 100s, you know something miraculous has happened in your birth. And you just got this confidence, and, you know, he goes and different points, you know, he goes and he digs all these wells, and people confiscate the wells of Philistines, and he just digs another one. Just knows that wherever he digs a well, wherever he is, there's going to be water, because the Lord's going to provide for him. He knows, he's just so confident. And it says that, you know, there's a famine, and he says he plants a crop and he gets 100-fold. He just oozes faith, and it's so natural for him. And I think it's a real testament, isn't it, to how, as parents or as leaders, whatever we stretch for, whatever we reach for, the next generation, it's just so easy. For them, it's simple. For us, it was hard work believing. But for them, because we made it look so natural for them, they just believe it. And we should always be seeking to be passing on something to the next generation, which is bigger, which means we have to stretch. Because if we only live to what we used to, and we don't stretch, then that's what we pass on. So why not pass on something that requires effort? And then for the children and for the next generation, it's not effort. They can stretch further and go further. But to do that, we have to stretch. We have to push ourselves. We have to lift a bit higher. And I love Isaac because he just has this confidence. And he doesn't, not that he doesn't make mistakes, he certainly does, but he's just so confident. And he says he prays over his sons. He promises them blessings for the future to his sons, Isaac and Jacob. And he's confident. I mean, Abraham was told by God, this isn't going to happen. for 450 years. But he just confidently blesses his sons because he knows that God's going to do it, that God's good to his word. I just want to tell you this morning, whatever God's promised over your life, whatever prophetic words you've received, the Lord wants to tell you, he's good to his word. I mean, Abraham, I'm sure, thought God was a bit slow. He promises him a son, already when he's old. So he's like, he must be thinking, come on, let's get on with it, Lord, you know. Let's have this now because I'm pretty old now. We need to get this sorted. But he has to wait a very long time. But God was good to his word. What he promised, he did. He's always good to his word. Whatever God's promised over your life, he will do it. And sometimes it's a struggle, you know. God promises Abraham, he says, oh, you're going to have this son and you're going to have many descendants. And you know, and it's Isaac. And he has this son, he has many descendants. He's going to have many descendants. But then it says, but Rebekah, Isaac's wife, couldn't have children. And it says that Isaac pleaded with the Lord that she would be able to have children. And it says God, you know, God made it happen. It's interesting, isn't it? The promise was there. I mean, Isaac knew that he was going to have many descendants. He knew that already. And yet he still had to go into prayer and get hold of what was a promise from God and bring it into existence. And sometimes we have to do that, you know. We get these words and we have to bring them into existence. We have to pray them through. We have to make them happen. We have to get hold of them and believe in them and stand on them. And it's not a lack of faith. You know, Elijah, he says, he prophesies to King Ahab. He says, there's a mighty storm coming, and Ahab runs off. And then Isaac goes and prays. It says he prays seven times, he prays. And eventually, it says there's rain clouds. But he prophesied it already. He says, this is going to happen. And then he gets hold of it, and he prays it into being. And that's what God wants us to do with every promise and every blessing we've been promised over our lives. We need to pray it into being. It's not a lack of faith. It's not that we don't believe God. We're standing on it and saying, God, you've declared this, and I declare it, and I believe it, and I speak it out, and I'm going to continue to speak it out. Even when I don't see anything happen, I'm going to continue to speak it out because you promised it, and you're good to your word. And Lord, if you don't do this, then you're not good to your word, or that's how you look. You know, it's all right to say that, as long as our heart's right, of course. You know, Isaac, he gets hold of it and he prays and he makes it happen through prayer. Even though it's a promise that it was already going to happen, he still had to get hold of it. Whatever promises you got all to your life this morning, you know, God wants to say, number one, believe. You know, faith, this series is all about faith, isn't it? And faith is really quite simple. It's trust. I trust you, God. I believe that everything that you said is going to happen. And I trust you. No matter what issues happen, no matter what things I'm disappointed with happen, no matter what stuff that I wanted to happen that didn't happen, I trust that you're good to your word. I trust that you'll always be good to your word. And whatever you promise, you'll do. You know, God's not, we're the children of God. God's not going to leave us as orphans. God's always going to provide for us and look after us. If we're living for God, we can imagine all sorts of things. You know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And you know what? It probably isn't. If you love the Lord and you're seeking after him, none of those things are going to happen. There's like a, in the old Lord of the Rings, there's this clip where Erwin, I think it is, she's the daughter of the king and she's giving this long speech to Aragorn. If you haven't seen it, it doesn't make any sense to you probably, but anyway, she gives this speech. It's just a misery speech, you know, like about how awful her life is basically, and she goes through this really long speech that takes ages, and at the end of it, Aragorn, he's like the hero of the story, he looks at her and he says you're a daughter of a king. I don't think that's going to be your fate. We can imagine all sorts of negative things about our life, but we are children of God. And if your trust is in the Lord, then all of those negative things are not going to be your fate in life. Not that I believe in fate. God's got good things planned for us. And it says he blessed his sons for things that were going to happen in the future. And I was thinking, what? Blessing? I was asking, I kind of knew what it meant, but I was asking God, how do I define that? How do I say blessing v prophecy? You know, what's the difference between a blessing and a prophecy? And I came up with a little formula, which I didn't read in the book. I made it up myself, but I think it's true. I'm confident it's true. And it would be on the screen. But basically, blessing is prophecy plus authority plus impartation. Prophecy plus impartation plus authority equals blessing. See, a prophecy, I could prophesy over your life. Say, Tom, I really believe the Lord's going to give you a healing ministry. And I think it would have some power because it's prophecy, yeah? And he could go away and he could pray over that and receive it and get hold of it and see it happen. And he's got a healing ministry. But if Ian was stood here, who has an anointing in healing, and he says it to Tom, then it carries more authority, doesn't it? Because he's got something that he's sort of imparting and bringing out. It's different. You know, when Isaac blessed his sons, he wasn't just prophesying. He was passing on something he'd received from his own father. He had the authority to pass it on. In fact, so much so that if you know the story, that Cain and Abel, almost the same, Jacob and Esau, they fight over getting the blessing. It was so real to them. This intangible spiritual thing was so real to them that they both wanted it. And Jacob steals it from his brother. This spiritual thing that most of us would think, a blessing, yeah, you know, was so important. They understood it so much that they were willing to go to any length to make sure they got it. See, it wasn't just a prophetic word. It was inheritance. It was something very real and very tangible. And it comes with authority. There has to be authority there to bless. You can prophesy over someone, but you can only bless where there's authority. You know, I can bless my children because they're my children. I can pray blessings over them because they're my children, and it has power. I remember once, you know, and Sarah and I, we know we're married, and I remember once Sarah had this issue with work, and it just made me angry, and it wasn't right, you know, but I didn't really pray about it much, to be honest. And it's just been going on for ages, and I felt like it was wearing Sarah out, and it was just annoying me, you know. I remember one day I just went and I was at work. I went out for prayer walk and I prayed, and I was just like, I've had enough of this. I command this to stop in the name of Jesus. Do you know what? It stopped just then as I prayed. You know, we'd been praying, but just this is the authority, isn't there, as a husband, you know. When I took hold of the authority and applied it, something happened, and there's a significance of authority. That's why God wants us to be in authority structures. You know, authority is not something that's earned as such. It is earned in one level, but God gives it to you. You know, my children, I have a certain amount of authority over my children. I didn't earn that as such. It's just who I am. It's the same in any level of authority. You know, people, God puts people into authority. They don't necessarily earn it. Sometimes they really don't deserve it. But they're in that place, and God's given it to them. And when we put ourselves into authority, then not only does it protect us, but it puts us in a position to receive as well. When we step out of authority, we step out of that structure, then we become a target for the enemy, for Satan. And not only that, we're not in a place to be blessed. And, you know, it's funny. I think back over my life and look back where I've had respect for authority. And where I haven't, here's is a buff, actually. And I think, you know, and I think, I look back and, you know, I realise, you know, I missed out on things, actually, by not having the right respect and not respecting authority, you know. And it's all the way through the Bible, isn't it? David respects Saul, even though he's like a terrible king, you know. And there's a, when we're with people with authority and they've got something, you can receive, you know. There's this, you know, the story of Reinhard Bonnke, you know, is it George Jeffreys? I think it's one of the Jeffreys. One time he's in London and he sees the name on the door, G. Jeffreys or whatever, and he thinks, this is just after Bible college, you know, he's a young guy. No one's heard of him. No one knows who he is. And he knocks on this door and he says, oh, are you George Jeffreys? Is this George Jeffreys' house? And this woman answers the door and she's really rude to him and tells him to go away, basically. And this voice says, you know, shouts, you know, let him in, you know. And he goes, parts, blessing to him, you know. And then a few years later, hi, George Jeffreys. You know, didn't he receive something? For sure he did, didn't he? You know, there's a story of, not exactly my favourite televangelist, but there's a story of Benny Hinn as well. And, you know, God bless him, he's repented a lot of things in recent years. But, you know, there's an interesting story about him. He followed Catherine Coleman around everywhere because he wanted what she had. And he got it, didn't he? He definitely got it. There's a blessing to be received when we're with the right, when we put ourselves in, that near people and around people that have got something. It comes to us, it's like an impartation. Sometimes it's direct as being laid hands on and receiving it. I've been in their presence and being around them. You know, when the disciples were brought before the Sanhedrin, and they, it says that the religious teachers, they were like amazed that these uneducated men were so bold and confident. It says, but then it says, it's just this little throwaway line, it says, but they took note that they'd been with Jesus. When we're with people who have something, we receive something. It's always like, I think we have to understand that, don't we? We have to realise that that's true. I remember years ago when I was when we were young people, and Carolyn and Ian were there as well, and we were in a little Pentecostal church, and it was all right. Well, it was pants, to be honest, but we decided we were going to go to Spring Harvest, and Spring Harvest goes up and down, you know, but it was in its up phase then, you know. Toronto Blessing was on, and all sorts of stuff was happening, you know, and there's loads of people said, oh, we had this sort of Easter convention, you know, that somewhere else. And like, why aren't you going to that, you know? Why aren't you going to that? And you don't need to go there to get a blessing. Here's the truth. We did need to go there to get a blessing. And my word, we received one. I mean, Martin Smith was leading worship. It was just, oh, man. I've only once, actually, since then, or twice, sorry, since then, been in meetings like it. Once was some meetings we had in Manchester years ago, but another one actually was Sarah and I went to Bethel Conference. Brian and Jen Johnson were worship leading with Martin Smith, funny enough. It's an interesting thing, you know, like there was supposed to be a whole group of us going, and I wasn't even supposed to be going. Sarah and I weren't married then, and it was like a weekend worship conference, and we tried to get the whole worship band to go. And about a week before, it's like nobody was going. And I thought, are these people mad? What's wrong with them? And in the end, you know, I said, oh, look, Sarah, you know, we're not married. We can't, like, it's not like we can go there for the weekend together. So I says, why don't we go there? I says, I'll go with you and we'll go. We'll just go Saturday. I tell you what, we were mightily blessed. Last time I'd been in the meeting like was that, was when we were at Spring Harvest. Same worship leader, actually, but the presence of God was tremendous. And I remember studying that meeting and just the power of God and the presence of God, and I thought, why didn't anyone come? What is wrong with them? Why didn't they want to be here? Why didn't they want to sit in this and receive this? I was listening to, I wasn't sure whether to preach on this, I happened to listen to Chris Volutin the other day, a guy I've listened to literally twice. I love listening to Bill Johnson at Bethel, but Chris Volutin, never listened to him really. He's a great guy, but just, you know, different people sort of have something for you, don't they? You go through seasons in your life, and we need to be able to receive from people. I remember years ago having a conversation with somebody, you know, a guy who was, you know, wise and godly, but there was this sort of preacher, American preacher, that says, oh, I can't stand him. You know, like, he just gets on my nerves. And it was partly this kind of British hatred of Americans. It's just racist, really, but... and it was partly like, to be honest, he was a pretty irritating preacher. He was anointed, but he was irritating, even beyond my Britishness. And you know, sometimes you say things you don't mean to say. And I says, I think that God has something for you from that man, and I think you should listen to them. And I thought, what have I just said? You know, just sort of came out of my mouth. And the next week, this person had been listening to them and they'd been mightily blessed. And they're like, you were right, they did. I've discovered something, that the Lord packages the message we need in people and through situations that require humility to receive it. We have to humble ourselves to receive. We know, because God speaks to us about it. Just have this sense, you know. We have to receive from people that we don't want to receive from, you know. And anyway, so I'm listening to Chris Volutin, and I'm not saying he's like that, he's great, but just not someone I listen to. And he's talking about impartation. And I thought, oh, praise the Lord. And then, the other night, I've got like some YouTube Bethel stuff on and Hillsong stuff just randomly going through. And then, out of nowhere, this old sermon by Lester Summerall comes on. I'm like, literally a guy I've listened to once before in my life. Awesome guy, you know, but he's talking about his life, his experience with Smith Wigglesworth and how he went there. And Smith Wigglesworth was praying for him. He says, I just, you know, received stuff, you know, I got blessed, you know. And I thought, yeah, it's impartation, you know. You know, we want to be in the presence of people and around people we're going to receive something from. I remember in the Toronto days, and there's all sorts of stuff about that that was a bit weird, you know, but there was awesome stuff as well. And people used to say, oh, you don't need to go over there to get a blessing. Yes, you do. You certainly do. Say, oh, God can bless us here. Yeah, he can, but he's blessing over there, so you better get over there and get it. You know, if God's doing something over there, go and get it. Go and receive it. If God's ministering through someone, go and receive from that. Go and put yourself under that and receive from it. It's very real, this stuff. We can't, you know, just because we can't see it or understand it doesn't mean it's not real. According to physicists, according to different theories of physics, and one of them, M theory, says there's like 13 different dimensions. It's just a theory. But you know, the funny thing is, as Christians, we've always known that there's more dimensions than space-time. We've known that for 3,000 years. The Jews knew it, we knew it. We know there's more dimensions. We just think they're... those are inhabited, you know, by living beings. You know, even science says there's more to this world than we can see. All the scientific formulas pretty much prove it. They can't look at those dimensions. They have no idea what they are, but they know they exist because the maths doesn't work without it. You know, beyond this, there's a spiritual reality that in some ways is more real than this. And God wants us to get hold of it and believe it. You know, that when words are spoken of prophecy, that, you know, it says, the angel says to Mary, says, for nothing is impossible for God. Which actually literally meant in the original text, for nothing that the Lord speaks will be impossible. Basically, that the power comes when God speaks it and it becomes possible. Whatever God's spoken into your life is possible. Because God's made it possible. And when you pray, It's not just like talking. It's real. There's stuff happening. Jesus said that the kingdom of God advances and the violent take it by force. If you're not being violent in your prayers, maybe you're not taking the kingdom of God by force. If you're not really going for it, I don't know what violence looks like to you, but I mean, like, you know, like people like, oh, don't do that sort of like shouting and like, well, fine, you know, don't, but make sure you're violent in your prayers. Make sure you're violent in your spiritual going for God. Because that's how the kingdom of God advances. Kingdom of God does not advance when the church is not, inverted commas, violent. Now, I'm not talking about jihad or something, you know. I'm not talking about people blowing themselves up and declaring war against other religions or something. I'm talking about spiritual stuff. When the church of God sleeps, the kingdom of God does not advance. But when the kingdom of God, when the church gets hold of God and is determined to advance the kingdom of God through prayer, through effort, through lives, then it advances. It doesn't advance when the violent don't take it by force. Our lives don't advance in God when we don't take it by force. God wants us to take it by force. God wants us to get hold of it and believe everything he said and stand in it and proclaim it over our lives and proclaim it over our children. What are you going to pass on to your kids? What are you going to pass on to those in your church? It's interesting, isn't it? It does flow. I mean, like, my great-granddad was a prophet. And his son was a prophet. My uncle Les, though he's, I'm sure what he's doing at the moment, but, you know, he's got a tremendous prophetic gift. And now people are calling me a prophet. Isn't that funny how that would happen? Would we be surprised if Stephanie, Joel, or James had a tremendous healing ministry? No way. You know, I've got a real ability to pray that God's given me. But you know, my mum did too. Carolyn does. My gran did as well. Paul said to Timothy, he says, the same faith that was in you was, you know, in your mother and grandmother. He doesn't say a faith like it. He says the same faith. Exactly the same faith is in you as it was in them. You know, you can pass this down and we can pass it on to people and you can receive something by being around people. And, you know, like, you can impart things to people. I mean, there's different levels of impartation, isn't there? There's like Elijah passing it on to Elisha. They're going to die, you know. So that's like giving it all on, passing it on. That's a certain form of impartation. If I was to pray for you, I'm not going to give you all the prophetic gifting the Lord's given me. Because then I wouldn't have it, would I? But there's something else. There is an ability to pass on something that you have, isn't there? That doesn't require giving it away. And you get it from people who have already got it. You hang around prophets, yeah? Then something of that's going to rub off on your life and you're going to be able to see things and know things and understand things that you wouldn't normally see, know, or understand. You hang around evangelists, you're going to see situations where you can reach people for God. You know, they say about entrepreneurs, they're not the people who got lucky, but the people who, when an opportunity came, knew what to do with it and were ready to take it. The same with evangelists. Evangelists, yeah, I think they get more opportunities, but also they just know the opportunity when it's there and they know what to see and to say. If you hang around a pastor, then you're going to understand the hearts of people. You're going to understand what makes people tick and what they need, what motivates them, what they need to change in their life and how you can take them from A to B. You hang around an apostle, you're going to see breakthrough in your life and the establishment of things. It's terribly frustrating, isn't it, when you can see things in God, but you can't make it happen. That's why you need the apostolic. The apostolic brings it to birth in the church. You see stuff, but the apostles have the authority to bring it forth. And you hang around people like that, it brings it out in your life. You start to establish things and you start to move forward. You start to pioneer stuff. Because it rubs off on you and you get hold of it and it comes, you get some of it. So you need to sort of, you need to hang around these people. Anyway, I think we're over time, so. Not sure what to do. I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to do some sort of impartation, you know, for receiving something. I think that would be good, you know. Why not have a bit of funny? So I was thinking, you know, maybe Sarah and I will stand here. God's given me a prophetic gifting, and so I want to pray over. You don't stand in the prophet's line, you know, it'll last, you'd be there forever, you know. I just want to pray over people. I'm not going to be prophesying over people. Just pray for eyes to see and ears to hear. And I'd like Tom and Stacey to stand over here and just impart something of the evangelistic in people's hearts. The ability to see opportunities and to take them. I'd like Andrew to stand here and to impart something of the ability to understand God's word and receive the word of God and know it on a new level. You know, Andrew's got many gifts. He has a tremendous teaching gift from the Lord. See, understand the scriptures in ways other people don't understand. See things. You know, I'd like Carol and Ian to stand here. And obviously Ian's got a tremendous healing ministry, so he can pray that over you. But you know, what Carol and Ian are, above anything else, they're pastors. They're just awesome people who understand people. Better than anyone else in Amazing Grace. They understand people. And they know what's hurting people. And they know how to pray for people. They know how to love people. And if you want some of that, go and stand with them. And if you want some healing, you know, you can get that off Andrew and Egan as well. And, you know. Let's do that, eh? Let's form orderly queues. And let's just do a little bit of praying for people. And we won't take ages doing it, guys. But we just want to, we're not going to prophesy over every person. We're just going to bless them in the name of Jesus. And it's going to have power. It's going to do something. Amen.